Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Now, in 2021, Black Country Radio was awarded the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service, as it was then, described as the MBE for volunteer groups. Last month, several local organisations were also given awards as part of the first King's Award for Voluntary Service. And as I said earlier on, over the next few weeks, we're going to be hearing from the recipients of the award right from around the Black Country. And the first of these is the Cape Community Care Centre. And on the line there is Paulette Subban. Good evening, Pauline.
Good evening to you.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Pauline, I'm going to blow your trumpet a little bit further because you volunteered for over 17 years within Sandwell and you developed the Cape Community Day Centre for the elderly, and you also received the British Citizens Award last year as well. So congratulations somewhat belatedly on receiving that, but also congratulations on receiving the King's Award for Voluntary Service. What does it mean to Cape Community Day Centre to receive that?
Well, Clive, I don't know how you would actually put it in words. I think we are humbled, but yet still so proud. So proud when it was announced, when we got the email, we were emotional. We were, I think, shocked. We were stargazed. But it was just amazing. And it wasn't just the volunteers, the beneficiaries, which are our elders. They range from the age of 75 right through till 98 years old. She's 99 next year. They were all cheering and dancing. And it was just a lovely. And we're still living in that moment. We're actually so proud.
And long may you live in it.
Thank you.
Tell me about the Cape Community Day Centre then, Paulette.
The Day Centre, it's been going probably about 40 years.
Really? Gosh.
Run by the chairman. His name is Bishop Stanford Ferry. Lovely man. He's still very active. Slowed down a lot. Himself and a few other people, there's Floris Ferry, Mrs. Mills, there's a few people that started it. And honestly, digital wasn't really in. It was very small, probably about five or six people. I passed one day, fell in love with it, and the chairman asked me if I understood a letter, and the letter was basically saying that everything was going digital. And he didn't really understand, so I helped with that, and I helped a few things that kept popping in. And then after probably about a year, I gave up my job, and I thought, this is really what I want to do.
That was a bold step.
That's where we've been. Oh, I loved it. It was just lovely. It's lovely being in that space, and you see elders that have migrated from Africa, Caribbean countries, Eastern European, and they've come over here, and they've raised their families. They've been over here since they're in their early 20s, and they've not really done anything. Mm-hmm. A big achievement to raising their families,
yeah.
But to with regards to enjoying what's around, enjoying what England has to offer, is something that they haven't done. Something as simple as going to a carvery, they've never done it.
Right.
So where I stepped in, it was basically, I treated them all like my children.
So all my mums. That's really
they're
nice.
They're all my mums. I call everybody my mums and dads, and we do so many fun things. We hire bicycles, we play cricket, we go to sports clubs, do you know what I mean? We do sponsored walks. We have so much fun.
Tell me about role then, Paulette, within the centre, your current day role.
Well, my role, being there 17 years, and really I'm the centre manager, coordinator, I wear 10, 15 different hats. HR,
everything.
everything. And that's the thing, when it's voluntary sector, you don't really have many an influx of people coming in with their skills, and if they do, it's very limited.
Yeah.
But I have a strong team behind me, 7 people, absolutely amazing. There's Rena, there's Sonia, there's Valerie, there's Nav, there's Janine, there's quite a few of them. I don't want to miss Mello, V, quite a few that have been really, really loyal with me. And any project that I feel I have a passion for, I'll probably think about it, and then I'll call them, and you can see their eyes all rolling, say, "Oh my gosh, what are you going to do now, P?" And I'll tell them, and I'll say, "Can't we just do a normal thing?" I'm like, "No, let's do this project, let's do that project." So say, for instance, when COVID hit, a lot of the centres closed down, and I thought, well, we need to bring the centre to everyone's homes. And we were thinking, well, how are we going to do that? So we created something called the Restimulate You. So really, we bought some tables, some fold-up chairs, and we went round to people's homes, and we did exercise in their gardens.
Brilliant.
We did exercise in their gardens. It was lovely. Really, really lovely. Great memories.
From the people that attend the centre, how has the work that you do, or how does it, change their lives for the better?
Absolutely. Lots of positive case studies, lots of positive stories. I mean, if you take, for instance, a lot of them, a lot of their families have moved away. Children have gone away to university and not come back to Birmingham because they've got jobs and they've settled away. And unfortunately, in pandemic, we lost a lot of people, a lot of partners, a lot of husbands and wives left. So I would say 90% of the beneficiaries that attend the day centre, they live in their homes alone. So they live in their homes alone. So we are really the heartbeat of and the hub of the community. So they come, they get a 2-course meal, they get mental stimulation that ward off dementia, they get physical stimulation, and you can see them growing stronger and stronger every day, and they are being more independent. And the thing is, if they are independent, they can stay in their homes longer because they don't want to leave their homes. A lot of memories, a lot of history there.
Yeah.
They really don't want to leave their homes. And ultimately, we're taking the pressure off the NHS, because they are actually homes. Like in the pandemic, we were taking them to for their COVID vaccinations. We take them to their medical appointments. We offer a befriending service, visiting service. There's a few clients that really have deteriorated since COVID who don't. Were too anxious to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually go to their homes, sit with them, do personal care, we try and get them onto digital. So we're doing digital lessons, digital classes. So we're doing so much. Meals on Wheels for those who don't cook, with the cost of living and things like those. Mm-hmm. A lot of our elders not even putting heaters on because they're so anxious about the bill.
Yeah.
So really, when they come to the day centre, they don't want to come home because it's a home environment. They're having fun, they're happy, and they're not alone. And if they're at home, they're putting the news on. It's like local crime. It's quite depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in their homes alone, just deteriorating.
And I guess because they come to the centre, they make friends with each other, and those friendships then are taken outside the centre. So when people go back to their own lives, you know, they may well, you know, either meet up with somebody or at least exchange a telephone call every so often. And that's important too.
Definitely. So they've got long lost friends. I'd say at least 50-60% of the beneficiaries that attend, they've been coming over 10-15 years.
Oh, that's lovely.
So they've got, it's a little family unit. And in the summer, from May, June, July, August, that's 4 months. Once a month, they go out and a social outing.
Mm-hmm.
They go to a garden. They go to something educational. They go to a restaurant. So they'll go out once a month for 4 weeks. And then on the last one, we do a large community seaside trip.
Ooh,
so
nice.
We went to Skegness. We have about 5 or 6 coaches every summer that leave from our day centre that go to different seasides, Western Supermare, Skegness, Barry Island, loads of places, having a lovely time. Really, really enjoy it.
How do you fund all this, Paulette? Because obviously you're a charity.
Very, very difficult. At the minute, we are our year runs from January to December, so we rely on a lot of self fundraising. So we make dinners, we sell them to the community, so they come in off the street and buy them for lunches and things like those. We charge a small fee for the beneficiaries coming in, and they have buy dinners. But really, it's self fundraising and applying for grants, which is very challenging right now.
And time consuming as well. I mean, roughly, without divulging any confidences, give me an idea of what your annual operating costs are, roughly.
To actually run the centre, we need probably about 120,000.
Gosh.
Which really, it may seem a lot, but it's not a lot at all. Not a lot. When you're thinking where our beneficiaries are probably about, 60 beneficiaries, 35, 40 that attend, and the 20 are people that are isolated in their homes, and people that we do befriending with, and we also do a food bank for people that that just come in off the street, because where we are is in a deprived area, deprived location, ranked number 2 in the whole of the West Midlands. So really, it's a critical hub that is needed in that area.
Something you also do,
gang culture and things like those.
Sure. Something you also do, which I'm intrigued about, is you also host a youth club, don't you?
Yes, I do. So the youth club's been going about 10 years. My son was the inspiration for that, because really, when he was 6-7 years old, I was in the corporate world, and he was really very, I was always farming him out just so I could do the work. So when I actually gave up my job and I realized this could be something I could do, I set up the youth club with him in mind, saying that I could actually spend the 6-week holiday with him. But we're having probably about 30 to 40 kids that come, and they have, again, mental stimulation, physical stimulation. They're not in their homes playing on gadgets, because when they come with me, they all call in the RDP, and there's no gadgets allowed. Gadgets allowed. And they're getting fresh air, they're running up and down, and they're having first experiences, real experiences, doing things like horse riding, going to places that they've never been to or never would think of going to. And we're also giving respite to the family members as well.
In an average week, then, how many people roughly do you support? Because it sounds like, you know, I guess the centre's open 5 days a week or something like that, but it must be a hive of activity, which sounds lovely.
Very, 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 very busy. On a weekly basis, I would say about 60 to 80. And when I say 60 to 80, we do have health awareness. We have strong connections with the NHS medical profession. So we have health awareness sessions, ranging from things like welfare rights, what they're entitled to, things like, you know, their walking sticks, ferals, the rubber that wears out, cancer awareness, prostate, breast cancer, Alzheimer's, dementia. And when we have those sessions, we have an A board on the street, and we're inviting the general public, and they come in as well. Sometimes they're just coming in by the meals. Sometimes they're coming in and sit down and listen to the health awareness sessions, and literally the whole community out. So sometimes 500 people we've had for a day trip that we've taken the whole community out.
What do your team get from doing this? I mean, you mentioned your team of 7 people, but what do you think they get out of doing this as well? Because I think it takes a lot of commitment, and that's clearly been demonstrated. But also, I think for the people there, for your team there, you have to get something out of it as well.
I think to volunteer takes a special type of person. To give of oneself, it takes a special kind of person. And the team, because we run such a fun place, a picture paints 1,000 words, so I don't think you could imagine. It's like, at the beginning of the year, we set out and we said, new year, new you. What is it that you've always wanted to do that you've never done? And then quite a few of them said, I've never rode a bike. So we actually, there's a service within the Sandwell Social Services that actually hire out bikes. And we got some bikes delivered in, and they rode the bikes around, and it was such a giggle. Just seeing them. Some of them were in tears. Some of them were emotional because they're in their 80s, and it's the first time they're actually riding a bike. They've actually been on a bike.
It sounds...
So the reward is seeing them happy. The reward is seeing that we're doing... It is going to something, and money couldn't buy. We'd love money, and we're applying to quite a few grants now to get some money in because we desperately need some funds in. But really, you couldn't replace the emotion, the happiness, the happy feeling, because a lot of these elders, they're at home, and to see somebody, they'll probably only see us twice a week, if that.
Sure.
And so when they come, they are lonely in their homes. So it's a lifeline for them. It's a real lifeline.
The King's Award for Voluntary Service is one of many awards that you've had over the years. Tell me about some of the other awards that you've received. I mean, I mentioned your award for the British Citizens Award last year, but what other awards have either you or the centre received for your work?
We've received Community Impact. I've received Woman Award in the community, a Community Impact myself for Women's Award, for Strong Leadership Award. I'm ranked in the top 500 of Afro-Caribbean descent. So as of our parents that have come down to England, in the top 500. The centre's done positive case study awards. We've done most impacted community centre in the area, in the whole of the West Midlands award. So we've had quite a few rewards.
It's lovely to hear.
It's not about the awards. The awards make it. When the awards come, it just gives us that motivation. Because like everybody else, you do get deflated sometimes.
Yes.
And life takes over. Most of my volunteers, they've got family commitments. A lot of them challenging family commitments. We all do. Life isn't easy. So to actually leave that outside and come into the centre and totally focus on what you've got to do in the centre.
What plans
and
have
then
you got?
Leave your personal thing outside.
Sure.
Sorry?
No, I was saying, what plans have you got for next year and projects that you've got coming up?
Next year, I want to utilise the CAVS Award to do more good in the community and to see the community, so many businesses, so many people that have come in and are really pleased. So one thing next year is I want to do a large community party. I'd like to do a large community party to celebrate the award, because I say to everybody, the award isn't just for the centre, it's for us as a community. So if you know the area, it's very deprived, very run down. So for us to be recognised in such a prestigious way, it's a big thing. It's a very, very big thing for a small little area, a small little community centre that we are. So really, the biggest thing I want to do next year is more of the same what I've done before, because what we've done before has got us to this place, but more so to build on that, but to get the whole community involved in a community celebration party. That's what I'd like to do.
Sounds perfect. Where can we find more information, Paulette?
Visit our website, www.capecaringcentre.co.uk. And we're on Instagram as well, Cape Caring Centre. So please, have a look, like, share, do whatever the young people do. do whatever the young people do. Please, we need your support. And if you're anyone's in the area, please feel free to drop in. There's always a lovely hot meal awaiting you. Well, and a smile.
Absolutely. Our congratulations again for receiving the King's Award for Voluntary Service, not just for you, but for everybody within your team and within the Cape Caring Centre. Paulette Subban, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Live. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 6 o'clock p.m. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by me, Clive Payne, and produced by Andy Caddick.